Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have in you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me.
Heavenly Father, we just ask for the remaining time that you be with us by your Spirit. Speak to this vessel that I speak your words and not my own. And open out our ears, our hearts, and our minds to receive all that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How did you like that worship? In our home, over the last 2.5 months, oh no, they're stealing the money. In our home over the last 2.5 months, this is what was typical for us. We would enjoy a meeting, a Zoom meeting with all the people in the children's ministries, from the youngest to the oldest, and all the staff people, and the Payettes and Chet would run those meetings. And then after those meetings were over, we would get excited. And it's really funny. You still get nervous, even for a computer presentation. I don't know how that works, because the work has already been done. You're supposed to be able to enjoy the work. Well, then Pastor James would come on with the worship. So Sally and I would be sitting on the couch, and it would be just so nice. And all of a sudden, boom, she's gone. Where'd Sally go? Well, she's on the floor. And the worship is going, and she is up there, and she is just being Sally, in the Spirit of God, worshiping. We can do that here too. You can come up to the altar during the worship, and you can enjoy it because the worship is anointed. The worship is usually, it has scripture, within it. It has the heart of God in it. But it really sets the tone for where we're going. Now, do we need tone? No, we shouldn't need tone. But we do. Why? We need atmosphere sometimes because we have not maybe spent the time in God's Word that we should have. We have not communed with Him throughout the week. And if you don't commune with God throughout the week, you need something to prime your pump a little bit. But if you are spending time with Him each and every day, if you are going through the scriptures in your life group and doing some digging, if you are spending time in prayer over all that, God has given us so much to pray about, hasn't He? He's allowed us a lot of stuff to pray about. And you begin to talk to Him and hear from Him. You know, when you come to a place like this, you get to rest in Him. You can actually rest in Him, but you can't. You can, but you can't. Why can't you? Because the Spirit of God begins to move so much. He's so alive in you because you brought Him in that it explodes out of you and it becomes special. This is how we're called to live our lives. Why do we need to live our lives like this? Because in this day and age in which we live, which I believe is the beginning of sorrows, we need to lean in on Christ during this time. It sounds so Christian cliche, but it is so real. You have to take the cliches of the church and embed them in you so that they become real and not just words. And when you do that, God begins to change. He begins to change you. And I'm speaking a message before I get to the message, but I just wanted to share these things. We had some issues with our streaming last week, and a big part of the issue was I'd go from east to west. I'm trying to stay within the center ground here. Bear with me. There are events happening in this day. I'll come to those in the message. But right now, I'm just going to begin with what I believe God has given this church. I'm going to begin at verse 3. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. This is Paul speaking. He says, I thank God for you. And he's talking to the church in Philippi. He's writing a letter to them, and he's writing that letter from prison in Rome. Isn't that something? Here he is in prison, chained to a guard, day by day, praying for the people of Philippi. That's pretty powerful. How can you do that? How can you even concern yourself with other people when you're in prison? How can you concern yourself with other people when you're chained to a guard and wherever you go, that guard goes? Because Paul spent time with God. He spent time with Him, and he had an ongoing dialogue and relationship going on with God all the time. I believe God heard his frustrations. He heard his anger. He heard the good times. He gave thanks and praise constantly through the good times. Do we even do that? When I'm going through a troubled time, I'm calling on Him all the time. Get me out of this mess. Help me. I can't take this anymore. This is overwhelming. In the good times, I seem to forget. I don't know about you, but that's what happens to me. I forget Him in the good times. We see here that Paul says, I thank God for you. He's given thanks, but not for himself in terms of his situation. He's given thanks for what God is doing him in the midst of his circumstance, in the midst of his situation. And in verse 4 it says, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. So Paul is not just talking to God on behalf of the Philippian people. He's doing so with joy. Once again, oh, if I could be like Paul. When I'm going through hardship, I'm not crying out in joy. God, forgive me. Let me grow to that place where in my hardship I cry out in joy. There should be joy in our daily lives. In the midst of hardship, trouble, pain. There's so many things I want to get to in this. But and then it goes on to say, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. For the believer, it's from the first day until the end of days. From the first day until he comes back. Until the day of Jesus Christ. He's talking to him. He's operating out of a paradigm of joy in the midst of hardship. Why is it such a big deal? You know, it's really interesting. The gathering together of people, it says in Hebrews, forsake not the gathering together, especially as you see the day approaching. And I just said a little while ago that in my belief and opinion, this is We're seeing the beginning of sorrows. I've said that since 1980 something. But I really believe we are. And at the time when we need each other most and the gathering together means the most, isn't it something that something comes along to hinder that? Where the church can come together. So we come together as best as we can. We do it virtually. We do it in person. But the getting together matters, and it mattered for Joy. It mattered for Paul as well. Getting together with people matters. And he longed to be with the people at Philippi, probably at Corinth, probably in Ephesus, his inner circle of people that worked with him. And what was he left with? Some guard for six-hour shifts strapped to his leg. Yeah, they gave him freedom in a yard, but he's walking around with a guard, and he has joy. Y'all know what happened to the guard, right? Poor guard, strapped to Paul, of all people. He got saved. In the midst of the circumstances, the trial, the tough time, Paul is at work. And the jailer gets saved. So now, there's Paul's leg. This would be Paul's leg. This is the jailer's leg. And they're walking in unison throughout the yard. The guy's getting, hearing the gospel ad nauseum. Finally, he relents and comes to Christ. At the later part of the term, I imagine they're singing Kumbaya together. And all is good between the jailer. And it wasn't the first time that happened. What do you do in the midst of your trial? Some of us crawl under a rock. I've been under that rock. It's not a good place. Some of us cry out to God. I've done that. And it's been healing. And it's been good. Some of us get joy in the midst of our hardship. And you begin to cry. And your crying becomes tears of joy in the midst of pain. This is a joy chapter, by the way. So you're going to get this for 4 weeks at different chapters within this book. But the deal is God has created us for relationship from the very beginning. When he made Adam back in Genesis and he makes a statement, it is not good for man to be alone, that's working on two levels. He needs a helpmate. He needs a wife. He needs a woman with him. But it's also working on the level of mankind. It is not good for mankind to be alone. Here's my plug for life groups. If you're not in a life group, I would say, why not? Get in a life group. Our life group is a source of healing. It's a source of laughter and joy, but we're connected and we're feeling apart, even virtually. We're still connected. And I'm going to guess the other life groups are experiencing the same thing. Find a way, fight to get into a life group and be in this community of believers that encourage you, build you up, lift you up, and pray for you, just like Paul is doing, praying for others in the midst of his stuff. We are created for community. Let me tell you what hell is. Hell is the opposite of that. Hell is apart from community. Hell is loneliness. Okay? I used to hear from friends of mine all the time, yeah, I'm going to party, 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 and we're going to go to hell. We're going to all go together. Like the band is rolling into hell with them, and they're going to have a great time. And that's just not what hell is. Hell is separation. And it's every bit as eternal as heaven is. But you're not there with your party guys or gals. You're not living it up and going, hoo, 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 rebellion reign. No. You're in isolation and separation. And I believe that's the spiritual part of hell that gnaws and gnaws and gnaws. If you get into the physical components of hell, which I don't even know how to even get into explaining them other than what the Word of God says, but there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The pain is so great that you're gnashing your teeth. I can't imagine. We were created for community, and we were created for relationships with one another. I like being with people, and I like being alone, and sometimes it's okay to be alone because if you're in Christ, you're never alone. But if you're lonely because of circumstances in your life and you're apart from Christ, it is painful. So I just want to be really clear on that point, and I want you to just kind of take that home, that community is good. And it's interesting to me that there's just things happening in the world that try to take that from us. In Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite scriptures, and in fact, in our life group, this is a scripture that everybody spoke about this week. This is the primary group of people. I think we had 10 people. 8 of them went to this scripture, I think, and they talked about it. He who began a good work in you, if you have come to Christ, and you said, Jesus, I've tried this life on my own, and yeah, it looks good on the outside, but inside we're a hot mess. And my personal life is a hot mess, and things aren't going any way that I planned it. I'm not good here. Think of bringing him into your first fellowship person that has a depth that goes to eternal places. Ask Christ into your heart. Say, Jesus, just you and me. Come in. Show me. I'm having a hard time believing this or that. Show me who you are. Let me know you. Let me feel you. When you come to that place, that is the beginning of his good works. And you don't come to him unless the Spirit of God tugs on your heart. And if the Spirit of God tugs on your heart and you don't respond, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Why? Because you might not feel this in your heart like this again. And he's calling you right now. You come to him. And that's the beginning of the work. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. What does that mean? When you come to Christ, he begins a process of growing you and raising you up. For some, it's quicker than others. I think for me, it was relatively slow. But when I got it, I got it. And when I slipped away from it a little bit, he gnawed at me. He just gnawed at me. He sent the hounds from heaven to corral me back into the fold, to make me happy, actually, is what he really did, to make me happy, to bring me back to the fields of joy, the fields of community, the fields of the faith. But he who began a good work in you, regardless of where you're at right now, if he began the work, he will be faithful to complete it until Christ. Until Christ. Until Christ returned to come and take up his church, to be with him. That's only the first page. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. So when I look at the day that we're living in today, we are facing trials of many kinds. For me, the simple trials are, my good friend and worship leader is not here with us. That's a trial. So we have to get creative and do what we did today. Thank goodness we had Pastor Joel here last week. That was a beautiful thing. In the worship he led us in. Kind of all by himself, right? But there's little trials like that that we have to go through. We're trying to get the streaming up, and we want people to be patient with us, but that's a trial. That's something we have to work through. But there are trials that are much greater. And if we look at the day that we're in today, I see trials all the time. Did you guys know that there was a space shuttle or a space launch this week? You knew that. Good. Did you know that there's people in the streets protesting and rioting? Yeah. Did you know there was a guy who lost his life that created all this? You knew that? Did you know that this has been brewing for a long, long, long time? Yeah. So we know that there's difficult times, don't we? Paul said there would be difficult times. Jesus said there would be difficult times. In Matthew 24, in fact, he even begins to spell it out. He talks about the last days, and I shared that on a little video about a week ago. What's going to come in the last days? This kind of thing is going to happen, and it's only the beginning. I'm not saying this to scare anybody, Unless it scares you into heaven, I don't want to scare you. But what I want to do is I want to pour hope into you, because in this day, people are crying out for hope. They need hope for whatever their circumstances in. People, our natural bent is to pursue happiness. And we know that happiness is happenstance. It's because something happened that made us feel good. And it doesn't last. And we're never happy enough. And we're never satisfied with happiness because it wanes, it fades. But joy is what you get when you receive Christ. And it sustains through tough times and really tough times. And with joy comes hope. And if you're the ones that have the joy, you should be spreading it to those without the hope. I should be spreading it to those without the hope. And speak it into them, because this is what takes them through the struggles that they're going through today. A few other thoughts, and I know my time is just really cranking around here, but I've heard, you know, our political scene is a little shaky, isn't it, right? There's a lot of polarization and division. I felt that same spirit attacking the church. There's polarization and separation. And what I have to always do is I have to say, what is going on, God? And then I pull back and say, wait a minute. God knows. He knows what's going on. Do you guys know that? He knows what's happening. And I get really great comfort in knowing that he knows what's going on. But he wants us to be aware, and he wants us to know, because he's about ready to take his relationship with you. And like I've said many times, it started at your head, moved to your heart, and gets to your feet and your hands, where you begin to step out and reach out to the people that don't have this hope. Thank you, Jesus. What does it look like? I want to go back to what we need in this world today. It's going to sound so cliche, but it's all right. It's love. I mean real love. Love that goes beyond anything you get in return. Love that is unconditional. Love that looks like the love that Jesus had for me when I was a sinner. I still struggle with sin, don't get me wrong. But I mean, when I was a willing participant looking for sin. You know what I'm saying? You know that kind? Y'all should be raising your heads yes, because you were all there, right? Where sin was your thing. He still loved me. And when I came to him, he didn't love me any more or less. He still loved me. But now, I belong to him. And I have favor. And now he uses me. Same with you. When you came to him, he's going to use you. And he's going to continue to pour out his love into you. But it's always purposeful. And what I saw during these funerals that took place this week, and I have political ideals and thoughts like many do, and I have my opinions like many, and I heard all the cries out for justice, and I got it. I shared the story of how I came to learn it, but I got that really well. And all the pleas, but what moved me was when I saw the people in the midst of the pain, closest to the pain, who began to yell things like, stop the violence, it won't bring my brother back. Who began to speak of love and what this, I don't know this man from anything except for what I hear on TV. But when he spoke about his brother, how he loved different people. And when I watched their funeral, I watched the stepmother, in the midst of losing somebody very special to her, react with joy and love over her son, in the midst of her son dying. And you know what? I heard every word that was spoken, and I took it to my heart. And my heart broke for this situation. So when I say we have to be aware, we have to be aware of the heart of man and what they're going through, because you don't know what their trial or their hurt or their pain is. All we know is that God says, use love to reach them. That's the call. Pray for them? Definitely. Pray for people. But show that you understand where they're coming from. I am no expert, but I got it now. Thank you, Jesus. And then it tells us in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. The fruits of righteousness. I know in Galatians chapter 6, it tells us about the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace. I'm just going to go with those three. There's patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all those other ones. But love, joy, peace is the spirit that should be in the believer. And those, along with the other gifts of the Spirit, are what we bring to people who have no hope. We love them. We have joy because Christ lives in us. Right? And if I'm full of joy, I need to spread the joy. And I spread the joy by loving people and helping them navigate the circumstances of their life. When we in life groups begin to replicate, we begin to split off, and we begin to reach out and refill our groups. One group becomes two. Two becomes four, right? There's new leaders. You bring people into your life group that need to hear about the love of Christ. And you raise them up as your own in the faith. You become their shepherds or under-shepherds or whatever you want to call it. And you're raising these people up to know Jesus. Why? Because it is the only hope we have. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen with the protesters. This is just, I'm speaking from my heart. These protesters, I understand that there's something wired within them to affect change, and they want to do the right thing and do good. Right? I believe that. But apart from Christ, the best they can do is be a temporary balm or salve for them, joining together with them. It makes them happy to do it, but that will wane because it can't sustain. What sustains is joy. And the only place we get joy from is from Christ himself. So eventually, walking, raising hand, petitioning, and doing all that stuff that I did 4 years ago or 6 years ago or 8 years ago or whatever it was because they tried to cut my paycheck. It was all self, right? I wasn't thinking about anybody but me. That wanes. The enthusiasm and the excitement of it wanes, and they come back to the place of hopelessness. And we have something to say about that. When I go through my trials, I want to look like that family of Floyd who showed love. Who showed love in the midst of that hard thing. How did they do that? Well, if you heard the lady preach, you'd know how they did that. She could, Jesus! She was hallelujah. She was, oh man, I can't do that. So I'm going on a little rant here. I'm sorry about that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. When that is in you and that comes out of you as an outflowing, you will impact people. People love kindness. And it's not really hard. Do you know a smile is part of that? Just smile at people sometimes. I never watched myself until we had to do these videos. And I do these videos and I see I'm saying something kind of hard, and I got a smile on my face. How does that work? But it must work. Half the church is here. The other half, maybe he'd wipe that grin off his face. I don't know, but I'm just saying it has these things, these gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, have a place. Lucas, if you can come on up here, brother. As you go through your trials and as you go through your tough times, I believe there's opportunity. And we're going to go through them like anybody else. We don't get a free pass. We don't get a free pass until the trumpet blast, right? The Bible says that the trumpet blast, first the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive will meet up together with them in the air and to be with Christ, right? All that. Until then, we don't get a free pass of the stuff that comes into this world. That little bug, that little virus affected Christians and non-Christians alike. That little bug caused a disturbance in our lifestyles for everybody, over the whole world. So there's no free pass. What there is an opportunity within this day that we live to affect change in such a way that people would come to know the place of hope, the place of joy, feel love that goes beyond ourselves, which is unconditional. That's what we do in this day. We don't point fingers. We don't belittle other people because it does no good. It furthers the divide. The business of division from the sheep and the goats, I said this last week, I believe, 2 weeks ago, that's God's business. He separates goats from sheep, wheat from chaff. That's his business. That's the business of the Holy Spirit. But the business of the Holy Spirit is also collecting his church, like a hen gathering their chicks. That's what he's doing right now. God is gathering. And sometimes he knows what affects a person and touches their heart that says, finally, I come to the place where, God, I surrender. I can't do this anymore. I've been fighting it too long on my own. I don't know what's going to happen. And he starts to work my heart. And then with this precious, precious love that he has for his children, he begins to speak life. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. You know, when you were in the womb, even before that, I knew you. That's what an eternal God can do, right? He says, I knew you then, and I loved you then. Then he says, come to me. Come to me. That's the challenge. That's the challenge for mankind, is to come to him and trust him. If you can't trust him, I have another question for you. Maybe this will help you for the rest of your day. If you can't trust God, here's a place you can go. Identify what it is that you do trust in and see if that's going to take you to the place of an everlasting eternity. All right? Well, I trust in my own abilities. Well, the Bible says that doesn't work because there's no one righteous, not one. Not the guy up here speaking, not the elder board. No, none of them. None of us are righteous. In fact, the Bible says that our righteousness, the best of us, our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's garbage. It has no value eternally. He is our righteousness. He stands in our place. He paid the price for you and me. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. And he did it for you and for me. All we have to do is say, I want that. I want you. If you think your education is going to get you there, it's not. Education is knowledge. Knowledge is fleeting. Perfect love is what saves you. And it goes like this. All these gifts that God has given us, he says, at the end of all these gifts, he said, they're going to all pass away. Good things that he's given us, they're going to pass away. Then he says, faith, hope, and love remain. And the greatest of these is love. That love is really the personification of Jesus Christ. That love is Christ. Jesus is love. And when I am united with him and I become his child, I am saved really because of his love and the price he paid for me, which was love. And then he says, there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved, but it's at the name of Jesus. Only Jesus. And to receive him fully, which says, Jesus, I'm all those things that they say I am. I'm a sinner. Sometimes I liked it. Sometimes it got me in big trouble. And I want to give it up for you. Come into me. Come into my heart. Touch my heart. Save me this day. In Jesus' name, I'm going to ask everybody just to bow your heads where you're at. If you've never done that before and you want to do that this day, say, yeah, I need this, Jesus. I want to put my hope in you because really there's no other place that can get me to where I need to be. It's It's a decision for you to make. You can make it right in your seat, right where you're at. Looks like this, or sounds like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I am not good enough. I've never been good enough. I'll never be good enough to please you. Come into me. Give me peace. Give me rest. I want your salvation. I want you to take my sin from me. Your word says that sin equals death. The wages of sin is death. Thank you for paying my price. I receive that. Change my heart and make me whole. Make me whole spiritually. Make me whole emotionally. Make me whole physically. I pray this in Jesus' name. Now I give you control of my life. You be Lord of my life, and I give that to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here's what's going to happen in the last days. Here's what should have been happening all along. Back in the 80s when I said these are the last days. Should have been happening then. We share this love with people. But as we move further, nearer the end of the last days, God is going to bring people into your life. It's already happening for some of you. He's going to bring them to you, and you speak life to them. Amen? Amen. If you're going to stand up, if you could just stand up where you're at. And Sally, I'm going to ask you to pray. Just pretend you're in the living room at home. Jesus.
Father God, we bow our heads before you and ask that you tenderly open our hearts. We had a word from you today that said, Christ is our power. And when we think of power, we think of greatness. And that power is you by your Spirit, your Holy Spirit. And God, right now, open the hearts of your people that we would have power.
Jesus.
Your power.
Jesus.
To love. Your power to forgive.
Yes.
Your power to reach out.
Jesus.
And speak the words of love and walk in the understanding of who you are, our great need, and those that don't know you. May we be quickened in our spirit as we leave this place and this week that you are at work in our lives and you're bringing us to reach out to others. And then may we go, oh, wow, thank you, God, for doing that. Doing that work, that powerful work in us, through us, to affect change for your glory. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If we have any of the prayer team here, you can come up here at the altar, spread out for anybody that wants prayer.